great to be here tonight, and God's given us this awesome breeze, and yeah, it's great to see you guys. So tonight we were right across in the corner right here, and Zach, who's standing in the back there, he's talking about, you know, I would get up in the morning and for a couple hours just listen to Christian music, but that by itself, it wasn't getting me to where I needed to be, and I need to make a change. And he was trying to figure it out. Well, if anybody else is in that same spot too tonight, we're going to do our sermon a little differently. I want to just basically coach you on how do you read the Bible on your own. And we're going to use tonight's sermon passage to just go through it as if I was kind of sitting on your shoulder helping you figure out how to read the Bible on your own. And the same stuff we're going to do tonight, you could do on your own. You could do it every single day. There's lots of ways to get close to Jesus. And if you get close to Jesus and see him, then you're going to change. The better you see him, the different you become. And if you feel like you know him really well, but you're not getting any different, then I would challenge that. Like every time you see him better, you're going to change to be more like him. But Bible reading has really been a key for me, and I want to show you kind of a simple four-step way to read it and get something out of it. So there's four R's or four R's. Actually, they all start kind of the same syllable that we're going to be talking about tonight. Mark has actually quoted it the other day in our class. So it's reflect, read, reflect, react. Let's put those together. But the very first step before you even open the Bible is you gotta make a request. You're not just reading a history book. You're not reading some random thing on Facebook. You are trying to meet with Jesus. So it makes sense that you would ask him to show up. So tonight, to do this request piece, very important when you talk to God that you be honest, because you're not going to get much if you have a bunch of layers of fluff between you and God. So if you're here tonight and your hope with this next 20 minutes, whatever that is, you need to be honest and go ahead and request that. So if your hope is that this will get done fast, then go ahead and request that, okay? If your hope is that you'll see Jesus like you've never seen him before, then request that. Whatever you really want, you might as well ask God for that, not something you think he wants you to say. If you keep trying to be, act like you think he might want you to act, or say what you think he is the right thing to say, you need to say it the way it really is inside of you. And God will show you if you're wrong, and then you can say, like, Jesus, help me be better, or help me be different. But if you don't come with the real you, then you can't change. So what do you really want from Jesus tonight? That's the first thing. And so normally when I'm praying, I will just kind of bow my head and close my eyes. There's lots of ways to pray, but I want you guys to try it that way tonight. So everybody bow your head, close your eyes. We're going to have a little moment of silence, and you get to request and say, Jesus, is Jake talking right now, but Jesus, I pray that all of us here would see you in a fresh way tonight, and that we'd learn how to keep seeing you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So that's the first one, request. And my tip is you start this one before your day really gets started. For me, I like to try to read the Bible before I eat breakfast, because I always eat breakfast. I'm that type of person. I don't miss it. So for you, it might be you always drink coffee or you always whatever. Go ahead, just try to get this started before you do something that you know you're not going to not do. Okay? So if you know that you're going to smoke before you leave the house, then read your Bible before you smoke. If you know you're going to eat breakfast before you leave the house, read your Bible before you eat breakfast. Do it before some other habit that's already established. Okay? So then, first thing you do, Jesus, here's what I'm looking for. And you ask. Jesus has a lot of grace. You might as well show up and ask. So after you ask, then you read a little bit from the Bible. And we're going to be reading from Ephesians because that's where we've been at. And the passage we're going to read is one of those that if you read it tomorrow morning, you'd probably read that. Okay, so we're going to jump right into like a little bit of a tough passage. But I would recommend to you start in the book of Mark. Okay? So if you are starting to read the Bible, if you haven't been reading it lately, start in the book of Mark. We all know somebody named Mark. Picture that person in your mind. That's where you're supposed to read tomorrow, okay? So, like, we got Mark in the orange, we got Mark in the white back there. There's lots of Marks even around here, right? So, read the book of Mark. That's where I would say to start, okay? We're going to read in Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 9, though. If you have a Bible, definitely want to turn there. If you don't, just listen close. So we're going to read 9 through 13. I recommend the chapter if you're just doing this on your own. But for tonight, for time's sake, we're going to read verse 9 through 13. This is coming in where we were just last week, was Paul was talking about. He's got this calling by God's grace to be preaching, and then to be doing this that we're going to read about. So starting in verse 9, it says, and to make plain to, well, I'm going to read this whole passage and we'll talk about what it means. It says, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my suffering for you, which are your glory. So read that kind of quickly. We're going to break down verse by verse, but my first tip when you're reading is, I want to get off the stage because I get away from the speech a little bit, but go ahead and read what you're going to read. That's the second thing. You request, and then you read. And when you're reading, you're not trying to figure out, ooh, what does this say for me? What's this great thing I got to tell my spouse? Or what's this great new thing I'm going to tell my sponsor once I get done? What's this great little nugget for me? The first time you read it, you're just trying to figure out what is happening. What is the person who wrote this saying? So here, like, what is Paul saying? The third step is reflect. That's when you open up to, like, Jesus, what are you trying to teach me? But the very first thing is, like, what is even happening? Don't jump ahead on the steps. There's only four steps. They're all worthwhile, okay? So, like, request. The read one is just try to understand what's actually happening here. So what Paul is saying here is that God has had a plan forever. Through Jesus, he was going to save us, give us a real path to have a relationship with him. And he wanted to make that path known through the church, through a group of knuckleheads, through a group of people who were a mess without his help, but who came together because of him. That's basically what it's saying. We'll dive a little deeper. But you read it, and if you read Mark 1 tomorrow and you're like, I read it and now I still don't know what it is, try to grasp something. And I'm telling you, read Mark, because I think you'll pick up on something. Jesus does something, you'll understand it, okay? Then we get to that reflection piece here. Now, reflection, we all know what a reflection is. You know, you look in a mirror and you see a reflection. It's basically you pay attention to something that's bouncing back at you, right? You're looking for information. You're paying attention. That's what reflection is. You're paying attention to something and watching what's coming back. So when you reflect on the Bible, who you're really trying to talk to is God, or to Jesus through the Holy Spirit. So you're looking at the Bible, but what you're really listening for is for the Holy Spirit to talk to you. Okay? A tool in your toolbox can be questions. Okay? So you read a little bit, then ask yourself a question. Okay? So we're going to read each verse. I'm going to throw out a random question. You can take it and run with it, or you can wait for the next question, okay? They'll keep coming. So, verse 9, Paul says, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. Now, there's a lot happening in that verse. I'm just going to point out one thing that grabbed my attention, and I want us to reflect on. He talks about God here, and then he uses a description for God. And there's a lot of descriptions you could use for God. You could say God who never lies. You could say God who has, like, the most horrible wrath that you never want to experience. I mean, there's all sorts of different weird things you could put out there that are true about God. But what he chooses to say is God who created all things. And that led my brain to kind of two different questions. One was, is there anything I can learn
from looking at something that God created today. If I would pay attention to, earlier today I saw a little tiny walking stick. If I would have paid more attention to that, could I have learned something about God? Another question that comes to my mind with that idea is, if I were going to describe God with only one attribute, if I was going to say God and then put one attribute on it, what would I put on it? Would I say the God who saved me? Would I say the God who's my Father? Would I say the God who created everything? So for you, reflect on that sort of stuff right now. In this verse, it describes God as the creator of everything. What does that make? Open that door up to Jesus and say, Jesus, you want to tell me anything about that? So we're going to have some pauses here. So there's a little pause there. Verse 10 says, God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. There's a lot going on here. Some of you hear the word manifold, and you're like, what is a manifold? And some of you hear the word manifold, and you're thinking automotive things right away. So, like, Marcus, what's a manifold?
It's an automotive thing.
It's an automotive thing. Well, tell us about it, though. How would you explain
like
it?
The manifold is what, like, connects the, like, carburetor to the engine.
Manifold connects the carburetor to the engine, right? And Shane Campbell always tells me, you know, an engine just needs spark, air, and fuel, right? So carburetor's giving you that fuel and the air there. Okay, so the manifold, though, is this idea of like laying out and connecting, okay? This elaborateness. So the manifold, kind of complicated wisdom of God is there. But the thing that jumps out to me from here, because this is a big... This is kind of another deep verse. It's talking about there's all these powerful forces in the universe and that God chose to use us to make his plan known. It's like God's obviously the biggest deal in the universe, but he picks like this little tiny kid to like give his secret to and not any of the big other head honchos, you know? And so he picks us, the church, to know more than the angels or anybody else know about this gospel. Picks us to be the ones that have the secret and get to share it, which is a gracious thing on his point. But the thing that sticks out to me with this is that God had a plan from the start. How many of you live in your lives, you haven't had very many plans? And the plans you had, like, they all fell apart a long time ago. You had to redo them a lot, and you don't have much faith in the plans you currently have. Work it out. That's how a lot of us live our lives. It says that God had a single plan that he's been working. A lot of people didn't understand it. He stuck with it. So, the thing to reflect on there is, if God had a plan for everybody and the whole universe from the start, do you trust God and his plan for you? So that's another... You could reflect on from that verse. God's had this big, big plan, and it included us. And if God could carry out a big plan in a big way, do you trust him that he could carry out a plan for your life? Verse 11 here. According to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So before we feel like too big for our own britches, like, oh man, God's whole plan is coming through us. Basically what Paul's saying is you get to share the news, but the work got done by Jesus. Okay, so in our own lives, sometimes we start feeling pretty good about I've got this much sobriety time, or I've helped this many people, or I've got this great of a family going. We get to share the good news. We get to be the salesman. At times, but Jesus is the product. Jesus is the miracle worker. Jesus is the one who did all the heavy lifting. And so there's never really any space for us to feel prideful about our role. So for you in your life, over even just maybe this last week, let's make it smaller. Just in this last week, what have you already given credit to of like Jesus is the real one who pulled that off? Has it been a lot about, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this? Or has it been like a, I got to be a part, but Jesus is the one who did this big thing. Think about how you've talked about the last week. So, verse 12 is really what I want to make the key for us tonight. All through the Bible, you get these glimpses of gospel, you get these glimpses of the good news said in a different way. And here's a gospel verse. It's Ephesians. I've never seen someone hold this up in a stadium. Ephesians 3:12. But here's a gospel verse that says, In Jesus, and through faith in Jesus, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I got like two hallelujahs out there, you know. So we got like two people are excited about what Jesus did. But it doesn't say we approach God with pride. It doesn't say we approach God with entitlement. A lot of times you can tell people that are born into something because they just expect it, no matter how good it is. And you can tell people who have been given something because they are always thankful for it. I mean, even down at like the animal level. I remember, this is a random story, sorry, but if you prayed for a short sermon, I'm sorry. But maybe nobody did it. Maybe none of you were honest. So here's a quick story about dogs that I learned in Mexico. So when I was living in Mexico, the Mexicans I was around in this little town were super against spading or neutering animals. I mean, they just thought, like, you are a horrible person if you would do that. Take away their will to live, they would tell me. You know, like, and like, it was like, that's cruel to do that, which is interesting. You go to a different culture, you're like, I can see why that seems cruel. I definitely wouldn't want someone to do that to me. But I grew up with Bob Barker telling me every summer morning at 10 a.m., spade and neuter your cats or whatever. You know, like, I never worried about it. I was like, yeah, so in Mexico, the little town, it was a real poor town, but nobody's spading or neutering any of their dogs. So there's a ton of stray dogs around. Some of these dogs are dying of all sorts of diseases and starvation, all sorts of stuff. I mean, it was rough. So you have these stray dogs that have like the roughest life in some levels, you know, on just like trying to survive. I would see people adopt, and I adopted, you know, one of these dogs that was just a stray. You adopt a dog that's been like fighting for food its whole life and never had any attention and just had people throw rocks at it and stuff. That dog is like the most loving, loyal, excited dog just to live outside your house and get some food. And then I also saw some people adopt little puppies and raise them. And some of the Americans I was with were doing this. And those puppies were like any other dog. They were just normal dogs, you know, for better or for worse. But the strays that were adults that you got off the street that really knew what it was like to have a rough life, they were like forever grateful, forever loyal, forever happy. Because there was no entitlement. It was all, I'm so thankful to be alive and to have food. Some of us have gotten this like entitlement about the way we can approach Jesus and God. And you read a little bit in the Old Testament, you see what it was like to interact with God before Jesus came and did something for you. And it was really, really rough. Most people never got to have a conversation with God. Most people, you know, I had to do this little sales pitch, make sure to talk to God before you leave the house and pick something that you're addicted to do it beforehand so you make sure you do it. And that's what we're at right now. That's the level of sales pitch. Whereas 3,000 years ago, people might try their whole life and never be able to have a conversation with God. You know, so there was a different, we have a lot of entitlement. But that passage doesn't say come with pride that you deserve a conversation with God. Come with entitlement that, of course, God wants a relationship with you, because those things aren't true. But it says because of Jesus, you do get to choose to come to God, and you get to have freedom. You don't have to have a fear when you come to God. You get to even have confidence because you are loved by God. Those strays that we had, they would eventually, at first they'd be afraid of you, but pretty soon they'd learn that you were loving and kind, and they would come with confidence to your voice to you, you know? We can come like that to God, but we need to never forget who we are without God. Like God's the one who's been good to us, and that we'd starve on our own, right? That we'd be a diseased mess on our own. And if we lose sight of that, we lose sight of something that's good for us to have, because it helps us be grateful. It helps us see the treasure that we have, which is every single day you can have a conversation with the God who made everything. So I felt like that was the coolest verse. There's one more verse in here, though, if you still need some more reflecting stuff. So verse 13, Paul says, I ask you, therefore, because of this awesome gospel, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you. That's an intense verse, apparently. Hopefully the guitars and stuff are okay. So here's what I will say about this verse, though. Paul lot because of standing up for Jesus, and people might have felt, I don't know exactly how they felt about it, but apparently some people were discouraged, felt bad about Paul having to go through all the suffering for their sakes to start the gospel going. The thing it got me thinking about, see, Paul says glory in the fact that I'm suffering for you, and it made me think about something. Normally when we feel good about ourselves, when we feel like I am happy with a spotlight on me, which that's kind of what glory means. You know, someone throws a touchdown pass, they want the spotlight on them. When someone drops the easy to catch pass, they're hoping the cameraman missed it. You know, like they're hoping the spotlight's not on them. There's no glory in that moment. Glory is when it's like, yeah, I want people to see me in this moment. So what Paul, normally we think of glory moments as that moment when I did great. When I said the smart thing, or when I did the strong thing, or when I proved that other person wrong, or when I won, or something like that. That's normally what we think of as glory, is when I'm on top of other people. What Paul describes as you should glory in right here is, maybe you should glory in who in your life is willing to suffer for you. I've heard hurt even tonight from folks who realized that they were counting on some people who weren't willing to be there in a hard time, or weren't there in a hard time. But some of us have got people in our lives who have suffered a lot for us, who suffered a lot trying at least to help us. And Paul says you should see that as like a glorious thing in your life, that you have a mom or a grandma or a brother who's willing to go through something hard for you, that should be the thing that you're like, that's something that I think is awesome. That's what I want to put a spotlight on. Is that my aunt has been praying for me for 17 years, or whatever it is. You know, that this person went through all this hard thing for me. And you might be sitting here tonight, you think like, well, I don't have anybody like that. I burnt every bridge, and I found out how far people would suffer, and I went beyond it. But you didn't. Jesus, who this passage is talking about, the reason you're here tonight is that Jesus was willing to go farther than you could push. You literally can't push so wrong that you pushed farther than Jesus would suffer for you. Jesus would suffer the utmost if it could help you. The only way you get into trouble is if you come beyond what suffering can bring back. If you choose to reject Jesus, that's a different thing. But just doing wrong, Jesus' suffering can suffer through that if you'll choose him. If you'll say, I'm going to choose you now and accept you now, he'll start with you. So the best thing, the best person for us to glory in, again, of course, becomes Jesus. And maybe you haven't thought of it that way before. But like the reason we should brag on Jesus is Jesus was the one that was willing to go through more than anybody for us. And that's better than any shining moment you've had, because it's this shining love from Jesus. Suffering proves love, right? Just like a ton of weight proves the strength of a bridge, suffering is this testing that proves how strong is the love that's there. I was on a bridge today that said it had a 40-ton weight limit. I don't want to be on the bridge where there's 40 tons on it. You know, none of us want to push a loving relationship to its breaking point, right? But we've all had moments where we're so thankful that somebody loved us enough to go through something super hard. And we all probably have had moments where somebody didn't love us enough to go through something super hard. I'm telling you that tonight you can choose Jesus and you'll only have those moments with Jesus where he's willing to stick it out with you. He will never let go of you. You can push him away, but he'll never let go of you if you want him there. So this is what we're doing tonight. We did, remember our 4 R's, we requested. And my hope is whatever you requested, my hope is that you've gotten that, right? We read. Very simple, right? And we reflected. The reflection took a lot longer than the reading. So if you only have 10 minutes in the morning, just read for a couple minutes. Okay, give God some space. Okay? And the more space you give to Jesus, you're going to probably wind up finding, I want more than 10 minutes, right? I want some more of that. Okay? The very last step, though, because up until now, we've had all the pleasurable pieces of these 4 steps. We got to ask God whatever we wanted, which that felt pretty good. We read, which really wasn't that hard, actually. Reflection ended up being better than we thought it would be, probably, right? We found some nuggets that were really good. The final step, though, is where you pay for what you just experienced. It's where you actually start to change, and it's called the react stage. So you ask for Jesus to show up, you read the Bible, and then you listen and reflect on Jesus. Someday this week, if you do this 7 days, sometime this week, Jesus is going to show up. I don't guarantee every single day you're going to have some great buzz feeling, but I bet by the end of the week, you are going to have something that you think, I think Jesus showed me something that I need to change in some way. It's going to happen. Something about it. Jesus, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he says, anybody who hears my words and puts them into practice, you're going to last. What you build is going to matter. But he says, if you don't do what I say, you don't put it into practice what I tell you, then you're going to crumble. There is going to be a storm in your life, and you're going to fall. There's going to be a storm either way, but are you going to build with me or not? That's what he gets at. And so, I guess I didn't give you this at the very beginning. This is what it means. When you start opening up the door to Jesus, you're opening up some responsibility. Because Jesus is going to show up, and you're going to be responsible for what you do with it. And that might scare you. And that's okay if it scares you a little bit. But the reality is, we don't have any other good option. There's no option out there for you. We all know that if you follow your own sinful, prideful path, it just leads to death and terrible things and hurting people and hurting yourself. The only real option we have is to put ourselves out there where we're going to be responsible to Jesus. He's going to give us something and we're going to have to do something with it. But the amazing thing is, you start doing stuff with it, you will become like Jesus. We'll get back into that as we go further in Ephesians. But for tonight, it's enough to know that you request, you read, you reflect, you react. I really think that if you do this, and then you stay connected with some other Christians that are doing it, I think there's no limit to where you're going to go. There's other parts of Christianity, but this will get you so far. And Jesus will teach you the rest as you're doing this. Okay? So, before we close out in prayer, we got enough time. Anybody want to just stand up and get some accountability and say, this is how I think God wants me to react to what I heard tonight? Accountability moment. So Marcus says, God wants me to trust him, clean out this bad inside condition, and serve others. So that's an awesome one. And Marcus, I would just encourage you, like, just ask for opportunities to serve. Tonight, before you leave, there'll be one if you ask for it. And just keep asking for it, right? If you know Marcus, if you're living with Marcus, remember, like, now you know his thing. Now you know when you got that dirty plate, you're like, Marcus, man. Help me out. Help me out, because I'm trying to help you out. You know, like, yeah, Gabby. This idea that suffering shows the quality of our love. She's been very discouraging. Jimmy John's all this work. It's been really hard finding employees, and it's been a mess if you talk to Gabby about it. It's rough. But she's realizing, I love Jimmy John's. They've been good to her in the past. She has this chance in this time of suffering to prove that love. So that's an inspiration for Gabby. One more person, I want to say, this is how I want to apply what Jesus told me tonight. Yeah, Tracy.
So, my son, I have three grandchildren, three boys. Two, they're all 3 years apart, so it's crazy. So, sometimes my son will call and ask me to watch at just a moment's notice, and no planning, no nothing, no matter what. And so, my mom will always complain, like, why can't somebody else do it? We're the only ones. My son says, because you guys are the only ones I can depend on at a moment's notice, and he's an only child. So God has told me, not only through this here tonight, but through other things, that to stop bickering with him, to stop my mom from bickering with him and causing grief, and say, yes, even though it may inconvenience us, or it may, you know, it may be hard to do, we just say yes now. I say yes now, and the situation's gotten way better. My son doesn't grumble and have so much stress anymore. He's a lot more pleasant to be around, and I know that that's God working. And just because, you know, I kept asking him, what do I need to do? Help me work with my child. Help me to get along with my child, and this is what he told me to do, and he never fails me. I mean, it's awesome.
So Tracy, that's a lot to share. There's a lot of good stuff going on if you need to hear it. So Tracy's been praying for her son and asking God for her, to God to change her son, but also for her to know what God wants her to do.
Right.
And God revealed to her through other means, but then tonight was reconfirmed.
Yeah.
Was this idea that she should be willing to babysit without grumbling at a drop of a hat.
Right.
All the time, even her mom who lives with her starts to complain about it, about like, why do we have to do this? We don't notice. And Tracy realized, I need to not only say yes every time, to not to talk back to my son about it, and to even step in between my mom and my son. It's just, I've been doing that. Things have changed with my son. And so the awesome things you start to see when you start listening to God is God pushes you to do things that you would never do on your own. You start letting go of, this is what I'm entitled to, this is what I deserve, and you start working with God. The amazing thing is when you drop all those I deserve and all those good ideas of your own, and you start doing with God, then there's this heavy hitter that's changing people.
That's
right. And suddenly you're a part of changing people, and you get to do things you would have never done before. And so, but I love Tracy's example because it's very practical. It's just in the weeds of life. Babysitting is probably the sort of things that Jesus will talk to you about. We want these big giant things that are seem super spiritual, but Jesus wants to change the people in your life through things that you think are pretty normal, probably, right? I mean, he may want you to go heal somebody, and then you go and do it. If he tells you to pray over him, like, do it. But he may tell you to do something like babysit without complaining.
Yeah.
And that may be the faithfulness piece. So here's the thing I will tell you from experience. If you're reacting to what Jesus is telling, if you read every, if you do these four steps,
1, 2, 3, 4. Request, read, reflect, and react. You'll get better and better, and you'll start hearing more and more and more for quite a while. You'll be strong before you have to go through dry periods. But if you only do the first three, you'll get more and more hard of hearing. You'll get more and more deaf. You'll get harder and harder to get anything out of the Bible. Because when you only request and read and reflect and you don't do, it's just like there's a clog in the pipe. And all the water that is in there gets like stagnant and not fresh. And no matter how much somebody from the outside pours in fresh, it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't get inside because there's a clog, right? God won't be able to put new things in you if you don't let the stuff he puts in you flow out. Okay? So I want to... You guys have to be the ones to do these four steps, but I want to pray for Jesus to show up and do the rest this week, okay? So let's pray. Special, but I want to speak by your grace for you right now and ask Jesus that Jesus, you would bring God the Father to us through the Holy Spirit this week when we read the Bible, that we would see you, Jesus, and that in seeing you, we would see God and we would be changed and we would know what you want us to do. And we would have the power of your Holy Spirit as we do it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.